Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey.
Hi Anna! Hello everyone, welcome to Diving Into Writing and we think it's episode 38. We're doing it a little bit different today. We're recording over Zoom, so we'll see how this goes. And we're talking about sex.
Which is a strange time to be doing it, you will agree. Anyway, first of all, how's life at the sharp end?
Intense at times, emotional at times, better than being sat at home, I find personally. I'd much rather be at work than at home.
Yeah, it's funny when you're at home and locked in, you can't do anything really useful for other people, which I find a bit strange.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Some friends of mine have been using some ideas of mine about writing exercises, and they've been doing it to keep themselves amused over this period. So I was really happy.
How did you get, did you do it over Zoom or did you?
No, I sent her as a birthday present a book with some titles of little exercises in.
Oh, and brilliant.
One each couple of days and doing it together.
So did you?
Piece and then they exchanged them.
Did you buy the book or did you put it together?
It's an exercise book and I just wrote in it.
Oh, Anna, we so need to do something like that and give it out to people.
I thought I might. So I asked her and a friend to give me feedback on which exercises they liked best.
Brilliant.
So anyway, actually, it's quite relevant to what we're talking about because one of the things that I did for a while when I was starting writing was trying to write different types of writing. So I did try and write about sex and realised it's not the easiest thing. So I don't know what your thinking was on why we would do this, but mine is, I think it's an interesting challenge and I've now thought quite a few thoughts about it. But where were you coming from with this?
Well, I always try, when I'm thinking of things to talk about, I look at the challenges I've had in my own writing. And that particular, whenever we decided to do this on this subject, I hadn't actually been writing about sex, but it was about romance. And Marcus was like, I'm not really sure that this works. And it's because I'm trying to force two characters together.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. So he said, I suppose writing about sex is quite difficult. Yeah. And I said, well, I haven't really had a problem before, although I accept that it's not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
But that got me thinking.
Well, yes, it's a really interesting thing. And I started thinking about one thing we should say is that neither of us are writing erotic fiction. So what we're talking about today is not going to be how to write erotic fiction because it's a whole new genre, it's a whole different genre from the ones we're trying to do. So most of my thinking is more about general fiction and you're, I guess, talking about it from your writing area, space opera and similar.
Yes and no. What I'm writing at the moment is definitely fade to black. So there isn't any thrusting of cocks.
I think that's a relief.
But I have written, well, I think you've read some of my sex scenes previously.
And yeah, that's most tastefully done.
Well, I do have a bit of an aversion to certain words.
Yeah.
and being a nurse, the technical terms, you know, penis and clitoris, yeah. I don't have a problem with. But it's the shortened versions, the cock and clits and I struggle with. Yeah.
Well, I often do mind maps, and I did a mind map on this because I thought what any writer would like to avoid is to get the bad sex award for fiction. Well, some quite famous writers have got it though, like Sebastian Falk has had it, and there's one lifelong award member who's called John Updike. I only know one of his books called Couples. But anyway, I started doing a mind map because I was thinking, why do we write anything about sex at all? This seemed quite a good place to start, as in any type of writing. Why are you doing that? Why is it here? And I thought, usually, it's something to either to move the story on in a particular direction or to maybe break a taboo subject, get it out there, something that people don't like to talk about. Or to reveal an area that might be hidden from society a lot, or to show intimacy between two characters, which is what I think you were talking about, where you were trying to put the two characters together. And maybe forcing it doesn't work any better than it does in life.
Well, there's also another one. And that's because it's satisfying when two characters get together. It's kind of, I've got to avoid certain words here, but it's kind of that ultimate act, isn't it? That the audience or your readers have potentially been waiting for throughout the story. Yeah.
Well, in which case, I think normally you would have introduced the characters fairly early on and then built up the tension between them for as long as you possibly can until you and the reader are about to burst. So I started thinking about books I like, basically, because that was a good starting place for me. When I first tried writing about sex, I did look at actual literature that's sexy, like Anais Nin. There's a book called Delta Venus. It's quite explicit. And I looked at that, but I didn't actually read 50 Shades of Grey, for instance, which is a more recent sexy book, which I understand from talking to other people has very little else in it apart from sex. But I think most of my favourite books deal with it a bit more indirectly. And I was thinking of One Day, which I've mentioned to you many a time as one of my favourite books, David Nichols. And it's really all about a couple of people. So it's really that one I said about getting intimacy across somehow. And he does it on the first page, but it's really clever because they're students at university and they've ended up somehow or other in a bed on virtually the last day of university. And it's so cleverly done because when I looked back at it, actually doesn't talk about sex directly at all, but it does very, it's marvellous dialogue. So it's the kind of dialogue you might think that could happen in a situation like that. A lot of banter, some fairly basic talk, like I'm going to the bog. And there's this wonderful bit where she's looking at him thinking how beautiful and handsome he is. But she doesn't say that. She says something quite cruel. Like, I can imagine what you'll be like when you're 40. And then she proceeds to say some quite mean things to him. I think that's really good because a lot, and I've thought more about other books I like. Eat, Pray, Love is another one I like. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. All slightly different, but sometimes the writer approaches the sex through dialogue or very small amount of words. Mm. I might read a bit to you later by Deborah Levy that I thought was good in that small amount of words way. So let's go over to you again and see what your current thinking is about any of those things.
Well, I think it, like any action scene, it's the build-up to the act that's more important. And that's where the focus should be. I I've read books that have too much sex in it, just as in it's so boring because the couple have got together and then they've got together again and then they've got together again, and you kind of like, what is the purpose of them having sex again? To get back to the story. But yeah. Romance isn't a genre I read a lot of, and I like to have something else going off. So like a murder or a thriller or something supernatural, not just they get together, they fall apart, they get together again. I find that a little bit boring, but
you might like more something like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, where the sex in it is nasty sex. On the whole, it's in the first book of the series, that one, what was that title?
I think I've read it.
Yeah, it's about the fact she's been abused by somebody who's supposed to be her guardian.
Yeah.
And eventually she gets her own back by doing something equally horrendous to him. Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah.
But in that case, it sort of predates the Me Too movement, but it's revealing a power dynamic that's very wrong.
I do struggle with that in books, and it's a very personal thing. But I would want to avoid abuse in books unless it is abuse. You know, I don't like abuse that is portrayed as romance or portrayed as okay. Abuse that's abuse is fine.
It's definitely not okay in this book.
Yeah. But I think that for me that's a no-go area. Anything else I wouldn't have an issue with, even if it's not my particular, what I would particularly want to do, you know, like a threesome or, you know, I wouldn't have any issue with that though in a story.
Well, sometimes with that sort of thing, it depends on your character, doesn't it? Like, if you're writing a character who would be involved in something like that, then you kind of have to go with the character a bit. And in that way, when I looked online to see what the advice is about writing about sex, it says you need to do a full analysis of your character's goals, motivation, and conflict within before you start writing about sex, because it's part of their character.
Mm.
I've never done that, so I have to say. I've never done a full... We did a bit on the writing course, didn't we? Some exercises in getting to know your character really well, like what kind of shoes do they wear and stuff.
I have to say I hate that. I just hate it.
Well, I think that's the role of advice that you look up on the internet. I mean, some of it's useful and some of it isn't.
Well, and it might be useful to someone, but... Yeah. It's not useful to me.
The bit I found more useful that I think you might agree more with was when it elaborated on conflict. It says, think about before and after the sex. How will it increase the conflict between the characters? And then the writer goes on to say, when people sleep together, it's not usually just about sex. I thought that was a useful thought.
Yeah.
And in that way, I was thinking about Deborah Levy's Swimming Home. Have you read this book?
No.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
It was shortlisted for a Booker Prize. And it's quite an unsettling book. You know, there's a sort of, there's a feeling of unease all the way through, which starts at the very beginning. And you see, you learn about the two characters a little bit, who are the ones where there's sexual tension, and eventually there is a sexual moment. And so shall I read a little bit?
Yeah, go on.
He slipped his hands around her neck and untied the white satin ribbon of her feather cape. The four-poster bed draped in heavy gold curtains resembled a cave. She heard a car alarm go off while seagulls screamed in the window ledge and her eyes were fixed on the wallpaper. The white feathers of her cape lay scattered on the sheet as if it had been attacked by a fox. She'd bought it in a flea market in Athens, but had never worn it until now. A swan was a symbol of the dying year in autumn, she had read somewhere. It had stuck in her head and made her think of the way swans stick their heads in the water and turn themselves upside down. She'd been saving the cape for something, perhaps for this. It was hard to know what she had in mind when she exchanged money for the feathers that had insulated this water bird from the cold and were also made from quills that were once used as pens. He was inside her now, but he was inside her anyway. That was what she couldn't tell him, but she told him in her poem. Da 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 da, that's the end. After a while, he ran her a bath. So in other words, the whole sex act consisted of that little bit. He was inside her now, but he was inside her anyway.
I got the impression there, though, that she was almost disassociating with the sex and was kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah, and swans.
Well, that's it. I think that's the impression you do get. And in the book, generally, there's a slight feeling of voyeuristic or detachedness because a lot of the book's seen from the eyes of a teenage girl, not that girl. Teenage girl who sees this woman and sees her with no clothes on. And then you get the actual sex scene there, which is so peculiar. She's thinking about swans, and I suppose there are some analogies there you could have.
Yes.
But really, it just gives you the impression, as you said, that she's not quite into it. So I thought that was interesting because, for one thing, it's about the shortest description of a sex act that you can get.
There wasn't much passion.
Oh, no. No, there wasn't any passion in there. I thought of other books from famous people who, like D.H. Lawrence, who was made illegal, his book, Lady Chatterley's Lover, because it was supposed to be so shocking. And again, it's not so much the detail, although there's some detail. It's more the thought that society wasn't quite ready for a love affair between a gardener and a posh lady.
Yeah, yeah. I think, so what makes a good sex scene? Sex scene.
Yeah, well, I think what would make it for me is probably less is more, not too much physical description,
not too much thrusting,
and not too much like you said about nurse stuff, not too much anatomy. I have read one book, it was anonymous, I think it's got a name like O or A or something. Anyway, it was quite sexy. It's French. I don't know if that's got anything to do with
it. Well, there are some stereotypes there.
Yeah, it is. But even that, it did have a fair bit of quite physical detail that a lot of writers leave out. A lot of writers either do it with the dialogue, like I really liked with One Day, or they might do it with almost like metaphor, like this, in this case, Deborah Levy. It is almost unsettling sex, even though it's barely described.
Yeah.
I like less is more approach, is what I'm saying. What about you?
Well, I think that if I think about the sex scenes that I really enjoy reading about, it's a little bit different usually, and it's got some the detail in there. It could be anything really, but it's looking at it from a slightly different angle. So it's not the usual. There's nothing worse than just the usual, like we've said, thrusting and words. I think you can also tell if someone's comfortable writing what they're writing.
But how do you get comfortable? And then I think that comes back to almost letting the character take over. And you almost just do it automatically. But I think we talked about authenticity before, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think in a way you have to think of your own authentic experience as well, such as what did you really enjoy ever happen to you?
Yeah.
What did you really not enjoy? And that way you might get to your authentic experience as well.
I think if you want to write about a threesome, you don't have to have a threesome though. But it would probably be a good idea to read some books that do that, so that you've got an idea of, if you're not going to actually participate, then reading lots of...
Yes, talking to someone who has, obviously.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Because otherwise it's all left to your imagination and you might get it very wrong.
That would be a shame, yeah. I suppose that goes when you're writing about sexual experiences with same sex, if you're more of a heterosexual, or other sorts of sex with other partners that you haven't thought about yourself. I found a writer I thought was very brilliant really at writing about sex. He's called Hanif Qureshi. He wrote...
He's one of my husband's favourite authors.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, he wrote Beautiful Laundrette, but he wrote Intimacy, which I read a few years ago. And it's unsettling, but it's incredible because he's describing the loss of intimacy in one relationship and the kind of compulsion to enter a new relationship and leave his old one. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
The one in his old one. He's leaving, whether they were married or not, I don't know, but in the story, but they were partners with a child. And he's lost all sexual interest in his partner, and he's fallen for someone else, sexually at least, lustfully at least. And he describes it so incredibly honestly. And so, you know, the pull in the new direction and the pain of leaving the other person, their pain and his pain, it's all quite awful really, but it's very well done. He's really got a way of being, and that's, to me, that's about incredible honesty, because he sounds quite awful a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And you can only think some of it is coming from the writer.
Yeah.
But of course that may be wrong. He may just be very clever at projecting. So it's like you were saying about projecting into situations. Either you've been in them yourself, or you have to be very good at projecting into the situation that maybe you've heard about, read in a newspaper or whatever. Yeah.
Done your research.
Yeah. So what else? Have you thought of any particular writers that really think they're good at doing this?
Yeah, well, I think of romance writers. So Suzanne Wright, she writes paranormal, but she writes paranormal romance, and I like the way she does it. But sometimes she gets a bit close to the consent issue for me, a bit too close for me. But she never quite oversteps the mark, otherwise I wouldn't read her at all. Nalini Singh does it particularly well. I don't know quite how she manages to get... I do know. It's because she very much... You're very incredibly invested in the relationships between the people. And she sucks you into those relationships really quickly. And that's what works.
Yeah. I think that really helps if you care about the characters, doesn't it?
Yeah. I feel very safe with her as well, in that I know that she's not going to blur the consent issue. So I like clear consent. I don't want to be putting anything into the world or encouraging authors that blur that line, because I think it's, in reality, there's a real danger there. So it is a personal thing, but
so what would you do if you were writing about a character who was really brutal and unpleasant in a story? and you wanted to do a sex scene?
Well, I think that you can overstep the mark, but I would want to make it very clear through another character that that's not okay, or somehow I'd want to convey that that's not okay. So you could still have it happen. My problem is when it happens and then the victim becomes complicit in it. And likes it, for want of a better word. It's not done in a equal consensual way. And I'm just not comfortable with it because it's promoting that, you know, he's dominant, therefore he's a real man. I'm not comfortable with that.
So in a way, you're saying that there's also almost like a political aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is. Because it is such an issue, isn't it, in society as a whole. So I don't think that you can easily just wash your hands of that. Yeah. Even if you're writing fiction.
Sorry, say this again?
Even if you're writing fiction, I don't think that you can easily wash your hands of the consent issue.
So you've got a couple of favourite authors. I've said a couple, and I'm just thinking if there's any that I have missed mentioning. I was going to mention books like The Miniaturist by Jessie Burton, because in that book I think she's doing something a little bit different again, because it's got a lot about sex in the story. But the main character doesn't have sex at all in the whole book. Because she goes to Amsterdam. I don't know if you know this story at all. It was on television, actually. And she goes to have more, a bit like an arranged marriage. And when she gets to Holland and meets, or from a different part of Holland, I'm not sure, but anyway, meets her prospective husband, it's a bit of a funny atmosphere. He goes out a lot and stuff, and he doesn't appear to be that interested in getting into a bed with her. And you realise as the story goes on why, because his sexuality is different.
Okay.
But I won't say too much in case anyone wants to read it. But again, it's very cleverly done, because the main theme of the book is sex, really. And yet...
There's none.
It's more like how she's perceiving from outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something now. I think that you've admitted to me that you've read Barbara Cartland in the past.
No, it was not Barbara Cartland. It was Barbara Taylor Bradford.
Oh, that's it.
It's a bit different. But I did it as part of my writing exercise that I was mentioning earlier. So when I was thinking who writes about, well, sometimes I think who writes best about or is known to write about sex. In this case, I was thinking of a scene that I'd either heard about or seen on a programme, which was written by Barbara Taylor Bradford about a couple, and they're in Paris, I think it's right, this is ages ago, I did read it, and they meet and have a sort of sexual encounter, and only as you get to the end of it do you realise that they actually already know each other, and they're man and wife. So that doesn't come across straight away. There's a bit of a similar moment in the film Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where you see Robert Redford break into a room and there's a woman there in a very nice, flimsy-looking outfit, and he sort of sweeps her off her feet, and it's the same thing. They already know each other, but you don't know at the beginning. And that has a sort of excitement about it, which is good.
Yeah.
So I guess that falls in the category you said, where some things done a bit differently.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that works well. But it's really hard to do as a writer.
Well, I would say, I mean, we'll have to stop soon, but if you could say one thing to other people, well, I might say two things. For me, I would say if you're writing general fiction, you know, not so much detail, but do it through dialogue or through very visual, like you're writing a film set, or adding all the texture, like with the whole sense of being there, getting the reader to really experience it, but perhaps not fill in every detail so that they can feel some of that themselves. And the other thing I would say is read, like I've been talking about, read writers that you like and see what they do. Practice. What would you say? That's three things I've said now.
I would say get into your character's head and see it through their point of view, and try, write what you're comfortable with. I mean, play with it, because I think it is one of those scenes that you kind of have to do, or I have to do over and over again, you know, just to get the words right. So play with it, enjoy it, be comfortable with what you write, and be careful what you write with the, I'm thinking consent issues and the power dynamic. For me, that would be it for me. Or maybe the detail, getting the detail, looking at it from a different angle.
Yeah.
Okay, there's loads there.
Oh, there is. There's loads more we could say as well. And in fact, when you've read that book that you told me that you've just discovered on the table, we might do another podcast all about that.
That's Marcus's book.
Yeah. Yes. Should we stop there for now?
Okay. See you soon. Bye for now. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.